Welcome to Lala Beams. This is episode 33. I am sitting here with my friend Dave Higgs and Mark Dennis, who will be helping me explore the Genesis theory, which is essentially the idea of our planet Earth being considered a black hole planet. Scientists suggest that there might be thousands of planets orbiting almost every supermassive black hole. Mark Genist, as in Genist Theory, is a high-end systems engineer, electronics technologist, and programmer. And Dave Higgs is a mechanical engineer. And both are extremely intelligent researchers and truthers with high focus on life and the universe as we know it. Ever since we became in contact, we've had deep discussions on many things, but one of them being Mark's theory on Earth being a black hole planet and how this connects to everything, even on a metaphysical level. My thoughts initially went to the notion of our world being holographic in nature, which has been further solidified by the declassified documents by the CIA that has been released containing the subject matter, combined with our atoms being over 99% empty space, mixed with some of the Tesla technology, and being able to manipulate matter as we know it on this 3D realm. If you follow Mark's realm or link on the episode notes, you'll see that he believes it's provable that the Earth is flat by the International Great Lakes datum and simultaneously provable to be a globe by these zodiacal lights east-westerly all night, which essentially means if both are true, we are living on a black hole planet. And furthermore, if all of these things are true, it proves that we are informational gods, our light, mind, soul, spirit, whatever you want to call it, of universal proportion. So we're going to dive into all of that tonight. But first, I just want to welcome you both to the show.
Nice to be here.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. So let's just talk a little bit about y'all, your backgrounds. And Mark specifically would love to know how you got into this and how it plays into your systems engineer background.
Right. Well, always been a tech guy kind of person. Since I'm 7 years old, I've been building systems, tearing apart radios and everything else. So I've been always a black sheep type of person, a recluse maybe a little bit, but for me, machines and electronics and everything like that stimulated my mind, and anything else was frankly boring. And so I spent a lot of time alone, spent a lot of time studying autodidactic type of thing, right? So from then on, I went to school. I didn't even finish my high school. I got thrown out because I was still passing all my classes, but I got thrown out because I was skipping classes, but I was still passing. So anyways, that's my kind of, the kind of person I am. Am I ADHD type of person? I don't know. I know I'm very, very, very into specifics, into details. And so solve problems is my goal, my everything. So basically, whatever problem I come up with, I find a solution. And whenever somebody would ask, I would find solutions for whatever. Now, this carried itself through many domains of electronics theory, all kinds of domains. I'll just leave it there. But I've been a manager of a stereo shop. I've been, I work for university. I worked for colleges. I taught electronics to people. This is my bag. And so I ended up being an international integrator, and I ended up being a product specialist for JBL, AKG, Crown. It's a Harman Pro company in the States, which I ended up being the product manager on an international level. So I ended up learning quite a bit and meeting a lot of elite, a lot of big projects, and I ended up doing a $70 million house in Barbados, a place where the largest home automation system in the world. They had 36 plasmas, 36 touchscreens, everything, all the doors were automatic locks, all the lights, heating, everything was controlled by automation. So I worked with Bang & Olufsen and whole bunch of very smart engineers. Anyways, from then on, when I ended up at Parliament, I ended up getting into a little bit more advanced stuff, learning a lot more about fiber optic systems and all kinds of systems, but working more as a whole, more as a supercomputer type level. So automation is what that gives. It gives you a supercomputer. So basically you're talking all kinds of protocol, all kinds of languages to talk to all kinds of machines. So this is what I do. My specialty is finding solutions with programming, automation, all these devices that are available to us. So it's an assembly of all kinds of things. So this is my specialty, is being systems. So to find the solutions, you have to look through information, not at information, because you will find that all technicians, all engineers, all everybody hide truth or hide their stupidity. And when they hide their stupidity, they add lies in their science. So in other words, their science, they think they are right, but they are actually have a whole bunch of nests in there that are stupid. In other words, they think they know, but they don't know. And if you dig in, you find all these nests that are, I can't trust you anymore because you're full of flaws. So basically, you have to look through people, and you find that people have, you know, there's different levels of people. And though when you do find somebody with mind power and somebody who keeps the science as he theorizes everything, is very important. How you systematically become a systems engineer is by not allowing any bullshit. So basically using the scientific method, you carry on without ever adding one suspicion that it might be wrong. It always has to be absolute or nothing. Like Occam's razor, which describes basically, it has to be logical. There has to be a plethora of evidence that shows that to be true. It has to be. It's so true that it's obvious. It's absolute. So this is what I look for all the time, and it has to be that. If it's not that, then I can't. I won't deal with you. I won't deal with it. So you have to see through inside how it's structured before you can come up to an analysis which will summarize the whole package kind of thing. So having said that, I started getting into, after Parliament, I got into Flat Earth. So this was 10 years ago, and I started learning. And now my inability to come up with any possible solution to what the heck is going on, it is flat. There's ample truth that it's flat. It's absolutely true. So then I was a flat earther for 5 years. And so, yeah, I bought the whole thing, but there was a lot of flaws again, and that's where my strengths come in again. I see, oh, wait a minute, that can't be real. That can't be real, you know. So flaws within everybody that had the flat Earth figured out type of thing they were full of flaws scientifically. So I had to tear them down, each one of them. So I couldn't believe them anymore. So I had to come up with my own theories. So my theories came to the basic conclusion, okay, it's flat, yes, but it's also a globe. All, everything about the globe is correct, as in you cannot deny it. And it is absolutely correct, and you cannot deny it. Same with flat Earth. Flat Earth, absolutely. I could find 10,000 different documents, white papers that describe how there is no curvature. Putting the two together you have to almost come to a cognitive dissonance. And in order to grasp those two things together, something has to give. What else is there? There is only one other, and that is black holes. And black holes fit everything about the flat Earth to a T. It is a 2D surface, so that means that there is no height.
Well, just before we get into all of that, I just wanted to, because I want to break this down. Dave, I actually, you know, the three of us, we started talking a month or so ago. And the second that I was got in contact with you, Mark, you blew my mind because everything that you're saying makes sense to me. And it's like intuitive that I know I'm completely different in the way that I think, whereas and I'm not an engineer. So the way you're thinking. But yeah. Dave was the first person that I thought of. And I think that there's a reason for that because he's also an engineer. So even bringing him in on our conversation, the types of questions that he would ask you helped me understand it even further. And it's probably because he thinks in a similar way that you do with you both being engineers. So
in the middle. Yeah.
And I wanted to welcome Dave as well to the show. And Dave, why don't you tell a little bit about your background and how you got into this truther movement, specifically to the subject matter that we're talking about today?
Oh, well, it's great. It's great to be here, Lala. Like we've talked so much, like talk. It's so nice to finally put a name to a face. Like I'm so glad. I'm glad to have this opportunity to be here right now. I started. It's an awakening. You wake up. Like I woke up 20 years ago. Like 20 years ago, somebody shared an idea with me. And this is what life's about. You have an idea, you share it with somebody. That idea grows. That idea is your baby. So somebody shares something with you and it sparks your interest and it completely gives you a fire and you start pursuing that idea that somebody shared with you because they knew about it. Because how are you going to know what you know if you don't know what you don't know? You know? And then I was introduced before to the flat earth concept and that rocked my mind. It was probably about 10 years ago, 10 years or so ago, somebody comes up to me and he's like, hey, you know, the world's flat. And then starts talking about the moon. And then I start seeing models of the moon. You know, they've got a model of a flat earth and how the moon and the sun will actually rotate in orbit. They've got it all figured out. And after a while, you start to visualize that and you're like, all right, I got this. I understand this. But it was hard for me to comprehend, like, honestly, and just like Mark's talking about a systems engineer, when you're a systems engineer, you're slowly going to take things apart piece by piece. You're slowly going to figure out what is it that goes from this point to the next point, what goes from the next point to the next point. And you meticulously pick out each thing that's in that system, and then you understand how it works. Like when I was a kid, all I would do was smash up my toys and see what was inside. My toys, they didn't need fixing, you know, but I had to fix them. So I was always inquisitive. I was always looking. And Mark, I'm going to tell you right now, like everything that you just told me, everything you said in your introduction, like I second that. Like whatever you say, I second it. I understand how you grew up. Like you're like a me that grew up elsewhere.
I feel you, brother.
Yeah, seriously. And I'm excited. I'm excited to do this with you. And I'm passionate about the truth, because if somebody doesn't know the truth, then they're going to make choices that they're coerced. Pretty much, like if you're given one option and that's your only option, you're coerced to do it. Right now, we're coerced to wear masks. We're coerced. Where's our choice? We need our choice. Our choice is the biggest thing that we have right now.
And, you know, so many people don't even question the shape of the earth. You know, they just think, okay, it's a globe. We learned that. Why would they lie? And that's what they don't get, is why the lie. And to your point, Mark, they, you know, flat earthers have already overcome that initial cognitive dissonance of the globe lie. And then when I've tried and attempted to even bring this idea up to flat earthers, I was met with severe cognitive dissonance in that way. So I found that actually really intriguing that they wouldn't even kind of peel back the layers of this onion. So why don't we just get into it now? I kind of wanted to start with the bold letters on your website, you know, the International Great Lakes Datum and then the Zodiacal East Westerly Lights. If you could explain that a little bit, and talk about how those are proven to be factual, and then you can kind of take it from there wherever you want to go.
Right. Okay. So the International Great Lakes Datum is basically a number, which is a zero number kind of thing, is used worldwide. That's the one we use with the United States. It's the one we use in Europe, everywhere. It's the common standard for anything that has to do with construction. So it's basically the standard. So it's a zero number, and it's from a place in Quebec, actually. But nevertheless, it's based on the Great Lakes. And the reason why they use the Great Lakes, because there is no tides in the Great Lakes. The level always remains the same. So this is very handy, and it's one of the biggest lakes. So therefore, the whole world is used. It's used as the international. So basically, this number, I'll just backtrack a little bit. If you look at the information that's online about it, you'll see that the geodesic measurements do not take into account curvature in the continent because they say it's too small. Well, according to me, just the Great Lakes in itself should have, like, if you do only the St. Lawrence Seaway, and there's 2,000 miles worth of water, lake water. So 2,000 miles of flat with dams and whatever, everything else. So it has to be level because there's dams. Now, point is that if there was a curvature in that area alone, there would be 500 miles of curvature. 500 miles up of curvature would be required for those dams to work. Now, that would be absolutely impossible. And if you look at any map of sea level, you'll see that it's zero. Like if you look at all the seaways, it's zero, 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 zero. It's zero across everywhere. There's a slight difference. There's 60 centimeters difference between Vancouver and the East Coast. So there's 60 centimeters that, and they did this by a line level, line of sight. In other words, they used a theodolite in the old days, and this was done, and they did the entire country like this by view only, with towers and with direct line of sight. So they did the entire country, and they came out with 60 centimeters off from coast to coast. So there is absolutely no way there could be that much curvature. There's just no curvature. It's just not there. It's a fallacy. And the geodesic people came in to Canada and everywhere else and forced the issue. There was no debate. It just came in like a thunderstorm. It was accepted by all governments. It is true, though, what they say about the globe. It is true. It is a globe. But the problem is that they won't admit flat Earth. And the reason why they don't admit the flat Earth is because it becomes a paradox. It becomes supernatural almost. It becomes godly. And this is why they don't want you to know that Earth is both of those things, and therefore a black hole is what I say. So if you admit that it's a black hole, then you have to admit that it's information-based, because the 2D surface that we measure, and we measure this thing like with airplanes, like the Sagnac gyro in aeroplanes, they can fly from atom around the world and come back to the exact same atom with zero loss. Like, I mean, perfect. Like, it's so perfect, it's godly in its perfection. Like, it's called lab flat. Basically, where the device was built, they zeroed it there, and then they took off with it and fly around the world. And it's always the same. It's always flat. So therefore, lab flat is flat. So what's the give? What's the problem? The problem is that there's curvature. We're in a space-time curvature. Time is modified and space is modified. So basically, time is curved and space is curved. Time curved is a bizarre thing to accept, but it's basically time slow and time fast. So basically, there's a compression of time and space, or curvature of those two. So the problem is not understanding that. It's the correlation between the two. And as an elite or as a, somebody that is trying to take control, well, you don't want to put a god in there, because that would be, you know, like, okay, we're all information, we're all gods, we're all this and that. Okay, well, where's the authority here? Well, God is the authority, isn't he? Because we are galactic in a sense, because we are connected somehow to black holes. And black holes, the surface is two-dimensional. The outer portion is three-dimensional. Like the sphere is three-dimensional, but the surface is two-dimensional. So if it's two-dimensional, where's our 3D? Where are we in that? So if we are not physical or are 2D, 2D is not physical. There's only X and Y. So X and Y is enough. Just like one and zero in a computer is enough to make intelligence, make a computer program type of thing. So basically programming. So the intelligence is in the 2D. So if we can read the 2D, make 3D out of the 2D, then the trick is done. Now, our brains are capable of doing such a thing, or our spirit, whatever you want to call this entity of data, which is at a location. How is it possible? So you have to then accept the holographic theory that, okay, well, yes, we are data. We pick up data that's on the surface, on the event horizon, and it is flat. It is 2D, but we decipher all that like gods, really, like supercomputers that can read data, or 3D simulation, just like in a computer. I mean, there's no difference. The computer data, computer information, ones and zeros, it's all it is. And when you come down to the basics of how life originates, well, it originates with solids. Not with solids, but with a sacred geometry. And it starts with a triangle. Okay, what's a triangle? What's a cube? What's a pentagon? And so on. Well, these are all ideas. These are thoughts. These are concepts. These are resonations that can be shared, type of thing. So if I have a chunk of data, I can share my chunk of data with you. So therefore, we are holographic, it seems, because of what the parameters were given. And the fact that Earth is the flat Earth points to holographic event horizon, black hole, singularity, the whole thing, right? So it cannot be anything else than holographic. And all astrophysicists and most all scientific people, they all agree with that now. Holographic is it. Like the LHC smashes atoms together, and we thought that was supposed to be a bomb, right? Well, it's not a bomb at all. They detect only waves coming out, only basically ideas that come out. And the Higgs boson, which came out of it, was basically it comes down to Zig and Zig get together and make a Higgs, and the Higgs is mass, you know. So out of nothing became something. But is it a something, or is it a program entity, a process that makes you think, oh, okay, well, that's a solid, that's not a solid. Well, it's data, right? It's the same thing. It's just a question of I'll give you an idea here. If you have a ship and you go close to a black hole, your ship gets spaghettified, stretched into the black hole, and basically brought down to its basic elements, and so down to one and zero, to quantum level. Now, on the other side of that wall, once inside the black hole, well, that data is still linked together. So there's no reason why that data cannot be reintegrated within. So this brings us to the next phase of the theory, which is the data is not actually on Earth. Earth is a data module in itself, an event horizon, a black hole in itself. It's an intelligence. It has data within it. So we are we are interfacing with that data. But are we the Earth? Are we the data on that event horizon? Well, I say no. That data has to come from elsewhere. Similarly, okay.
I was just going to say, similarly to your brain, like if you have, if you get in an accident and part of your brain is damaged, your information and your memories are not stored local to that part of your brain. And
They can disappear and reappear. They can come back.
Exactly.
Like the flatworm, if you cut its head off, it'll regrow one and its memories will come back.
So, but I wanted to ask you a question because as someone who, if I'm having a conversation with a flat earther and you talk about the proofs of it being a globe, could they just say like, is that just like the flat earth and then the firmament over it? Or what would be your rebuttal to that?
Well, they don't have an answer to zodiacal lights. That is the clincher to me. Well, there's two clinchers, really. The Occam's razor is, okay, the universe doesn't spin around us, does it? And you can't just put it as, oh, it's NASA shit and you can't believe it. No, there's people with telescopes, they see the universe, they see it spinning around us. I mean, you can't just say it's a whole bunch of lights. Like, it's arrogant to think that the whole universe is turning around the Earth. That in itself is unacceptable as far as Occam's razor. Secondly, in order to have a flat Earth disk or flat surface, you would have to have the sun go to the other side of the planet during the night. Like if we live in the United States, in Russia, they should be dark if it's light here and vice versa. So when the sun would go to Russia, it would have to be light there. And if we line up to the north, then we would see light there. So here it is. The zodiacal lights are always on the horizontal plane or the equator of the planet, or basically the
the circumference,
the equator, the zodiacal light being on the equator.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. So the zodiacal lights are basically the dust that is lit up on the backside. So you always see it easterly or westerly. And in order, if the sun was in Russia, we'd see those lights being northerly. So we'd see the dust lit. So basically, and we don't see that. That's not the case. It's always east, west. And by looking at the sun setting in the west, you will know exactly, even after, you can see it all night, this hue, this sort of an aura, it's just lit up dust. I can show a diagram of that if you wish.
Sure. Yeah, let me pull it up here.
Stand by, sorry.
It's okay. David, what are your thoughts on what he's saying so far?
One of the things I heard, have you guys ever heard this quote from Tesla? Tesla said that the constellations were attached to the firmament. That's what Tesla said. Is that something he might have said?
The constellation attached to, sorry?
Yeah, Tesla, I saw a quote. It was, I guess, a meme or something, but I saw that Tesla said that the constellations were attached to the firmament.
Well, like
they were fixed to the firmament. That's what a quote I said. I don't know if he really said it or not.
Right. I don't know. I haven't heard that. But, you know, in those days, Earth was flat, right? So they didn't realize that it was a globe. And they were wrong, in actual fact, in those days, you know. And yeah, everything was flat, but it's still wrong. The Earth is not flat, you know. It's warped.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with the warpness. A parable. And when you were talking earlier, you were describing the two parables going up against each other, right?
Yeah, the two theories fight against each other. They're diametrically opposed to each other. You can't have one and admit the other, you know. But the black hole reconciles them both.
No, I like that description you gave. When a boat would go into a black hole, and you would just see it stretch. And I was picturing this. I think for me, the biggest thing for me is if I can visualize, when I visualize these concepts, it all makes beautiful sense. I love it.
Mark, did you want to share your screen? Did you have a diagram there, or were you able to find it?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you go ahead and share your screen again because it got removed?
Windows, entire screen. Okay. Can you see that?
No.
Sure, window. Sorry. Okay, here we go. Try now.
There we go.
So, yeah. So you basically see the blue there. The blue is basically the dust, the little Vs. Are basically dust particles. And as the sun goes to the opposite side, it'll light the dust on the opposite side, I guess. You know, if it's on one side, it'll light up the other side. So basically on the back side of the Earth, like on the side that we see of the Earth right now, it would see it would see Jupiter type of thing, and it would see the asteroid belt. And basically that's what it is. It's the asteroid belt that we see. And so this light is always east-west. It's never northerly. So in order for it to be a flat Earth, well, the sun would have to go to the other side of the disk. And it's never the case. And it's impossible. Right?
Okay. So
that's the basic theory of it. Can you see these changes here? This is what it looks like. So the sun, if we're in one position, can you see this, the black and white?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So as you see, the sun always stays in the same axis and the moon as well. So basically we see the entire path of the sun. So we know exactly where it is at all times, even at night, right? The sky dictates it. It shows us where the sun's going to come up, basically. And so that's the theory. That's the main theory. So yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, it's the same thing with the flat Earth. It's like the first question for me, or at least for most, is why lie? Why the lie? And I think it comes down to how you were saying it's all about the fact that this kind of solidifies that we are creators, gods, informational devices, if you will. And what do you think that says about base existence? Where is there a base existence that mirrors kind of the informational devices that we are here in this holographic world?
Right. Well, what I found was, okay, the fact that there was no material, no matter, no nothing physical, everything is wave to start with. Then I started thinking, okay, well, atoms, can they hold our memory? Are we in the atom? Because that's what we're made of. And therefore, there's no central processor in the brain. So you would think that it would be in the atom itself or the core. Well, atoms reset every billionth of a second. So it can't hold memory. So where is the source of the us information, I am, the central computer of I am? Where is it? It can't be on Earth because the Earth doesn't have any roots for me. I'm not a tree. I'm not part of the Earth. I have my own consciousness. So therefore, I started looking into this, and what I found was basically that, okay, we are not in our brain. We cannot be in our brain. The brain cannot hold memory. It cannot, you know, we can lose an entire side of our brain and still regain those memories on the opposite side. I mean, it's totally bizarre. It's impossible. And the way that the brain is structured, everything is gray matter. And you have to wonder why. Why is it all linked to the top of the brain? And all decisions come from a specific point, even at the top of the brain. Why does the source of information come from the top of the brain? And this is conclusive in the medical files that I found. So then I started looking, okay, well, there's a zero point, it seems, at the top of the head. And then I looked at atoms, and I looked at quantum, and I looked at everything else. Everything that has that's a ball, that is a proton, an electron, an atom, cells even, they all have this Z-up thing, this Z-axis, which is at the top of this, whatever the entity is, a thread that disappears even. The threads are in a cell formation, are go into a pyramidal or a conical zero of to nothing. Basically, they say in Higgs, they say it's vanishing, the vanishing zero point. Okay, well, what vanishing? You got information vanishing here. Okay, well, what the heck is that? How come? How can it disappear? I mean, that in itself is a paradox in itself. So atoms are doing it, protons, electrons, and they all have this thread at the top, at the North Pole of each one of them. Why? Why? So then I started looking at the North Pole itself of the Earth, and I started finding these papers, these Russian papers, which were describing some lights that were coming out of a hole in the North Pole, and what the heck is that? So then I started researching, and there was a lot of papers showing this emanation coming out of the North Pole, and it looked like a conical sphere or a conical form that. You know, it. If you see the lotus flower, the fleur de lis, is a flower which basically has two petals and a pointy thing in the middle. Well, it's kind of like that. You know, there is a thread that goes out in the middle, a vanishing thread type of thing. Again, the same as the cells are doing, and the same as quantum is doing. And then I started looking at this. Okay, well, there's an emanation, and it looks like a wine glass, basically, and therefore a grail. So the Holy Grail, I put that together. And then I started looking into the Holy Grail and all the religion and archaeological and geological formations and everything about it. And then I started finding, okay, well, there's that above the Arctic Ocean. There's a big hole, a dome as well. Okay. First of all, let's just jump back a little bit here. The Arctic Sea drops within itself, 200 feet within itself. That in itself is a paradox of itself. If you were to sail to the middle of the Arctic Ocean, you'd be pulled in, basically downhill to the center. You can't, because there's ice, it's always frozen, but if it was to melt, and it has melted in the past, and there were rivers type of thing that would head to the middle. And I think that's why you see the old images where you see the four rivers coming into the center. And there's the old stories of ships going in and can't come back, and they couldn't sail against it. And, you know, that sort of thing. So everything pointed to, and I found the data proving the 200-foot drop. And at the very center, there's a dome of ice, a mountain of ice. How can you have a mountain of ice on top of water? Like, there's no mountain. It's just ice, but it's a big mound, and it's quite high. And in the center of it, a big hole. There's a big hole in the middle. There's no ice there. It never hardens. Well, it might harden, but most of the time it's clear. So it's a hole. So there's a hole there. Now, underneath is another mystery in itself. A 5 kilometer high crystal spire comes out of the earth into the water, basically. And this thing is the hardest rock around of anywhere. It comes directly from the center of the earth. There's no tectonic. Oh, by the way, all of the Arctic Ocean is fixed. There's no tectonic movement of the Arctic Circle. So anyways, this rock, 5 kilometers tall, Lomonosov, it's called, there was signals coming out of it. Basically, they proved that there was two signals, one going up, one going down. And they call them plumes. Plumes of what? We have an actual video of that. And, you know, I don't know if I can show that. But
you should be able to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I share like to share a website if I can?
Yeah, you should just be able to show whatever's on your screen.
Okay. All right. Chrome tab. Okay.
Chrome tab.
There you go.
So in your opinion, Mark, you think this would be why the Arctic Circle is off limits then? Would that explain that, in your opinion?
Yeah. Nobody can go there. Absolutely not, because of that reason. It can only be. As soon as they found out, okay, you should be able to see that.
Okay, you share your screen one more time.
Okay. Yeah, the development of NASA also occurred right along the same time people were interested in Antarctica.
Here we go. Yes,
same. Right after World War II.
And Antarctica, same thing. Well, it has connotations as well, like the bottom part of the black hole. And there is a hole there. It's 2 miles deep and it's fair size, but nothing comes out of it. There's no Lomonosov. There's no nothing other than there's a hole there under the ice.
So what are we looking at here?
So this is a video that's come out many years ago. And basically what you see here is red going in. And if you look carefully, the white is going up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's no natural anything about this. Like, I mean, this is not a volcano. This is not anything. Like, it was claimed as the North Pole, and it was said so. And we actually have other people that describe this. And basically, they say the red light's going down and the white light's going up. So why would that be? And so the thing is that if you consider light being information, information will be white. Like, okay, if I take a light, which is information, and I send it off, it'll be white here. It'll be white originally. Coming back to the red, why is there red light? Well, red light is red-shifted light, basically the Doppler shift light. So basically, if light is coming from a far distance, it'll be red. Just like all the stars, when you look at all the stars, there is a red shift. It's shifted to the red. just slightly, right? Because it came from such a far distance. So I can only assume that the red light is starlight, is distant light or galactic light or some sort of source of light information that is coming in. And the white light is information going out. So to me, the first thing I think as a systems engineer is, that's a portal, man. That's a network system. Like if you'd look at a fiber optic, that's basically what you'd see, because there's an input and an output There is no input and output on a fiber optic. Basically, the input can be used as an output just as much as the output can be used as an input. So basically, it's a two-way street, right? So what comes in to one side comes out the other side. And it's a two-way. That's full communication. So basically, anything that your brain can produce can be sent and can be received. So this is a two-way street. So this is what I see here. I see a network portal that is connecting information. So if it's a black hole, then it's feeding the hole. And you have to consider black hole to be a hole, as in W-H-O-L-E, as in the whole thing is a brain. So basically, you're a thought in the brain at that point, right? So basically, this light is hitting the event horizon and is fulfilling information within the, like, it's the same as a computer 3D simulation. I'm a distance away. I log in. I patch my information in, and I get results back out, like, you know, like 3D. So basically, it's a simulated world, really. But it's all in one package. As far as the software, it's all in one basic idea. It's not pieces. It's a whole thing. So
you talked a little bit about the information coming in at like the top of one's head, which the first thing I thought of would be like our crown chakras, which is like your connection to the source in that way, in that spiritual way. Yeah. And then you also had shown us a lot of pictures of what could look like an eye as well, and kind of like this spiral design. And like, I know that you showed someone at the top of the planet, as well as others. Do you have any of that you can pull up?
I just pulled up my video there. I just put up a video. Can you see it?
Yep.
So your question is, can we see it?
Well, I just feel like it kind of ties into like as above, so below, like we're seeing this manifest in the universe, on the planet base, but also like within us, the way you're describing this into the planet, but also I'm plugging it into like us as human beings and how the information is communicated.
Yeah, the fractalness of all this.
Right.
Well, yeah, it's when you understand the Higgs particle, the Higgs things, basically the whole universe is a big grid, it's like a big crystal, really. The subspace, the Einstein theory, it goes deep, because basically what it's saying, space-time, it warps the crystal, in other words. So basically, if there is a planet, if there is a planet or black hole, it'll pull in space. Basically, it'll create a shell of time and space, because out in space there's nothing. So it has to be a differentiation. There has to be a something to the nothing, right? So there has to be a border, and that border is the event horizon. So the singularity, the way I see the singularity is the 1D. The 1D is at the core. The core, how everything originated in the beginning, basically you have a spark in the center, which is dimensionless, 1D type of thing, and it expressed out, made a line. It became XY. That XY repeated itself all around as a panoramic connection through all of its surface. So it was connected to all of its surface, all of its event horizon. So to the singularity, everything that the surface sees, everything that is on the event horizon, the singularity in the very center sees everything. And it, what it does, it can do, is sprout out the initial hole, the initial XY vector, hits the surface, and from that place exits the singularity, exits into the universe. So the singularity can connect. Black holes do connect. There's a two-way street even of sending and receiving in all black holes. So there is a send-receive portal to all black holes. And I believe, since there is no matter in itself, everything is wave, everything is information, everything is just information in itself is gravity. So, you know, you have to stop thinking of gravity as a something. It's really space-time. Space-time, space-time is gravity. Space-time is a warpage. It's energy. As soon as you put energy in nothing, it is something. That something is a black hole, even though it's just waves. It's like a harmonic shell type of thing. And also, yeah, I got to come back to this because the wave aspect. The Riemann hypothesis states that from a singular point, say the North Pole, you can map out every single point in a sphere. So the zero, the sphere in itself, maps itself completely to the zero point, the nothingness, middle. The zero point. So everything points to this singularity, which is the heart of it all, but it is also the transmitter receiver of the information of the core of the whole WHOLE, you know. But it's a black hole, but it's a hole that gives out its information. So basically every node is a nodule of information. And if there is a nodule, well, it pushes away space. And if it pushes away space, well, then it's a black hole. It spins. It's like a harmonics. And the Riemann hypothesis also absolutely follows the harmonic signature of a container. So basically, you'll have the first harmonic, second harmonic, third harmonic, fourth harmonic. And once you put them all together, they match this spherical aspect to the T. Now the odds of this happening are astronomical if you go to the nth degree, because there is no nth degree. It's infinite. This harmonic match to the Riemann hypothesis that creates a sphere. In itself, it's a paradox. It has to be connected. It's not a paradox. It has to be. So therefore, harmonics, the universe is harmonic, wave, everything is wave. And it's just a question of communication and transfer of this information. I believe that we are the galaxies and we communicate to Earth. We send a stream of data to Earth and back again. So basically the red light and the blue light that's coming through. Because it's a two-way street, and basically it's our minds, it's why we don't have a mind here on Earth. I mean, we are galactic. It's the, as far as our atoms and our bodies and the stars in the galaxy, it's almost even. Again, is that a paradox? Is that linked? And as far as a black hole, well, a galaxy is a black hole. The Milky Way is a black hole. It has many stars within it, but it's still a black hole, and there's black holes within it. I mean, it's all information locked in there. So as far as information, the smartest thing in the universe, as far as we know, are galaxies, because they are contained as the most amount of interlinking machines, really. Like, if you consider a galaxy a machine, well, you know, there's no planets that are going Willy Wonka all over the place. No, everything is synchronized. It's like gears. Everything is geared. It's like a big machine in itself. So it has to be a mind in itself. And if light is information, well, then a galaxy must be super intelligent. Or it is us. It is us in plain fact. And if we go down the rabbit hole, well, religion is basically describing exactly that. They have it that we are in heaven, and we are the only thing on earth is spirit. And what is spirit? Well, it's just an approximation of what the soul is. The soul is forever. The spirit is not. The spirit, it dies. The spirit is just a halo of myself. So this is why the religion is exactly correct again, and it goes back in archaeological terms as well, because I found some that are in the Indian and the Navajo, 4,000 years ago, the Mi'kmaq, everybody was pointing to this factor that we are spirits on earth, and there is a heaven, and we all come from up above, everybody says up above. All religions all agree about the pinnacles as well, like the Lomonosov spire, 5 kilometers tall. I mean, and the ball at the top, and the dome, and these all show up in the architecture and in these old drawings and these paintings and all everything about religion and the Holy Grail. Well, I could show you thousands of different aspects of the Holy Grail in itself, depicted in a religious context. The Bible in itself is just a science manual, really. The crystal, I mean, that is Lomonosov, and that is the God. That is the source of everything on earth as far as man is concerned. I believe earth is a singularity, a life form in itself, a giant turtle, if you wish, but it's still an entity in itself. I think that all the animals and the trees and all the life that's on earth is Mother Earth. It's her ideas. It's her mind. She's sharing with us. It's Gaia. She's everything else is, we just have our bodies. The rest is all Gaia, right? It's her mind. We live on her event horizon. So it has to be her mind. We share parts of it, and we share with other people that are sharing this event horizon of hers, right?
What I see in all these old artifacts and all these old pictures, I see the same concepts he's talking about, just repeated. It's like everything in the past is speaking to us. It's telling us a story. It's like, hey, guess what? We've got something to share with you. If you're really paying attention, you understand it.
You know, like, how did they know? How did they know? Okay, we have to consider something here. First of all, anybody on Earth and the Aurora Borealis are fancy, are wow, right? And they can be seen all the way down to the equator at certain times of the year. So you have to consider that everybody and everybody had to have followed it. And the North Star as well, Polaris, the one that doesn't spin. I mean, they realized, okay, well, there's something up there, something that spinning around there, around, you know. And
do you have that video where you would see the curvature of the gravity?
And I was going to also say, like, some of those some of these pictures that are coming up that have Alpha Omega written on them, if you could kind of dissect that a little bit.
Right.
As well.
Okay. Dave, I'll get back to you on the curvature of the black hole.
Okay.
How that works. But basically, look at this image. It's in itself, you know, it's a depiction of what's in the sky. And basically, you know, the people are up. This is a ceiling, right? And people are up top, and they connect to a zero point, a connection heading down, right? So all of these are depictions of, you know, something in the sky, and we're all talking back to somewhere. So my, you know, it only makes sense that it's brought down. And if you look here, the blue of these, of the water and what have you, it's always as a pinnacle, right? It's always set like the Lomonosov is, basically a giant crystal. So basically Christ is the Lomonosov.
And everything's flowing like
into place. So yeah, so this the Christ is basically the connection, and the crystal, and the halo is the Holy Grail, just like they depict. And you'll notice that the Egyptian ones, they're all different. All Holy Grails, which is basically the conical aspect, is always there. Is always it's always the depiction. It's depicting the Holy Grail, every one of them, you know. And so there's so many. You know, there's the science of it and the shell aspect of it, right? And the science of it, basically, I saw the science by looking at the archaeology, really, and it made sense at some point. Like I really connected on to why those two were connected. Why the Z? Why are they always coming out of the head? Why is it always the North Pole and the swastika too? Why are they all have this thing with the swastika?
Well,
you're right. The swastika, if you go to the North Pole, it would be right above your head. So basically, the Big Dipper is the four
seasons,
right? Of the Big Dipper, right? And the center is the tip of the handle. And that's and also the three stars. Did you know that Polaris is actually three stars? And not only that, but the Z up of the North Pole, or basically if you draw a line directly from the North Pole heading to Polaris, the zero point is in the middle of those three stars. So in other words, they're all rotating the zero point. They are all circumnavigating or orbiting the zero point. There's nothing in the middle, but they are orbiting the zero point. So basically, the zero point in itself is a manifestation in space that connects. And if we look at dark matter in itself is also very, very indicative. Basically, it flows. It's like rivers. It's like conduits. It's just a mesh of wires, really. And it's just connections after connection after connection. And every star is connected to another star. So they're all in line. There's these threads, right? So all the stars are connected within the thread. So the halo follows the stars. So basically, it goes from star to star to star to star to star to star through the core center of the galaxy. So there's conduits. There's conduits, clearly. And the fact that, okay, if Earth is a wave and it's a conglomeration of energy and therefore creates a black hole and therefore gravity, the same goes true with dark matter flows, which are basically these wires that connect stars together, connects all the galaxies together. It's like a mesh. It's like a brain. So basically, these conduits connect two other singularities. So basically, they're connectors that have energy in themselves. And they say that dark matter there's more dark matter than there is matter, for that matter. Basically, what it is that the flows are invisible to us. They are 2D in nature, so we can't see them, and they don't give off that much energy. But they do cause gravity, and they do cause it's actually the gravity that the warping that we see. It's not necessarily the conduit. It's the gravity warping that we see as conduits. So there are conduits, but it's basically the energy, the space-time of that energy is what we see, the warpage of space, basically the gravity.
Is that where you were kind of hinting at, Dave, when you asked about the videos of the curvature?
Or how there's always, and there's always, you see one star, but then you see three different stars, three images of it. It appears like three different times because of the curvature.
Could you pull up one of those videos?
Yeah. Video or
whatever you have or want to show. Yeah.
Okay, coming up.
Look, I have to take notes.
You know, I always do. So, and I think that, I mean, a lot of this is very, very complicated. I love physics. I'm not going to say that I understand it completely, but I feel like every time that I like hear a theory, or especially to be able to relate it in this type of way, helps me understand it better each time.
Right. So I have the video. I have the image now.
Yeah, hold on once. There we go.
Yeah, the distortion.
So it basically pulls the light in, right? And it basically does this. Ooh, where is it? The other way, sorry. There. So basically the other end of it, that's what you'd see. You'd see five stars, but in actual fact, there's only one. So the light gets curved in. And that's how they see dark matter, because it diffuses lights that are behind it. It warps them, distorts their position, or gives you two of them, right? Because it's like a conduit. And if you look at the conduit in itself, oh yes, sorry. So I guess you get to see all my images here as we go through.
your website is amazing. I encourage everybody to check that out, and you know, look at it with a open mind and just look at it and really figure out each picture, and it all starts to paint a picture of what this is.
Exactly. And I go through, religious, geological, everything, aspects of it. So, you know, you really end up making a grand unification of all these theories together that really link each other. If you look at this here, this is bubbles which are connected to one another. So basically, this is dark matter, and it's flows and it's conduits, and it, you know, it's just there. You know, everything falls into place. So we see all the connections, and you know, everything is a bubble and it connects. You know, there's no such thing as a there's no such thing as being isolated. Everything's connected. So if everything's connected, then we are connected. There's no escaping that. You can't have all these connections and not have intelligence. The intelligence of human is incredible. If you look at the accomplishments of man, it's incredible. It's galactic in nature. Like, you know, like to find a computer that can do what we can would be a galaxy size, right? That's my the point is that we really are very intelligent, very, you know, and you know, we could go into other aspects of it where have we lived multiple lifetimes and have we, you know, gained a whole bunch of information? Well, you know, just look at siblings. If you tell me that each sibling is not completely different than the previous one, there's no way, everybody's different. There's no, like you would think that if parents have families that the kids would be the same, you know, they'd be the same. No, they have to be spirits. They have to be coming from somewhere else. And the fact that we cannot find a core of our information in our brain or anywhere means that we're not local. And if we're not local and we see all these conduits heading out and we see North Pole heading out and we see the top of our brain heading out, all the atoms heading out, up and out, well, then we have to be connected. There is no way out of it. It's Occam's razor times a million, you know.
So, you know, we talk about this in the context of, you know, elites who have this knowledge and hiding it from us. And it's like, do you really think it just comes down to, and then it's like, if they do actually worship Satan or, you know, completely want to disconnect us from God, why do you think that is? Do you think they just want to enslave us or what? I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, from what I read, they think that by being evil, they'll bring God back. They want Jesus back. They want a God to come back. Now, to me, it's, you know, it's like bringing back a Buddha. You know, possibly there is a great mind, like Jesus maybe was a great mind, maybe Buddha was too, maybe he was a great galaxy, you know, we don't know. We don't know. But is it a God in itself, an all-powerful God that blah blah blah? You know, what is God? Is it the fact that we are gods, we are godly in nature, and everything that's around us is godly in nature? Or there's an actual person that is overseeing everything, and there's really no need for a God. And as far as the Illuminati, they're just trying to elicit a new God, like have Jesus come down and have an apocalypse of some kind, you know. And it's just not going to happen. It's to me, it's just bullshit. It's just they assume that they know that we don't come from local, and there possibly is a greater, you know, super brain out there that can come to Earth and fix everything or fuck everything up, really. But they want a God back. They want a God. They want God to come back. And they feel that if they're bad enough, well, the devil will come back at least, right? And that's why they worship the devil, because they want the devil to come back, to come.
What are your thoughts, Dave?
I'm sitting here thinking, I see a split between the spiritual and the physical. There's a physical reality, and it seems like there's an intention to bringing the physical and sort of take over the spiritual, like sweep the spiritual out of the way, and we're just going to become physical, and we're going to become what we want to be. We're going to build ourselves.
Well,
I'm not speaking on behalf of their intentions or our intentions, but I'm speaking on behalf of their intentions.
No, I agree, Dave. I agree that the physicality of it, they want to have control over the physicality of it. So basically, they want to take control over the human. And that's why technocracy is all about that, is about taking over the control of man. And they know that information is coming from elsewhere. So they can disrupt it with the 5G. They can, you know, they can do whatever they want. And that's what they're trying to do, is to control the masses, to become gods themselves. And that's why they hide God, is because they want to be their God, right? That's my theory.
So I saw something today, and it combined with a couple other things I've heard in the past about the Project Looking Glass. And I don't know how much you know about that, but it's essentially like technology that shows probabilities, possibilities of things that could happen. It's a military program, supposedly. And so they said that they didn't see anything besides like a great awakening of humanity. And also that in 2012, that there was a potential for like something like this to happen. Do you think that it occurred at a point in time, or do you think that this is always how it was as far as the black hole planet?
I don't know. It'd be speculating on my part, and I try to avoid speculation.
Okay.
As far as the black hole is concerned, as far as spheres are concerned, there is possibility that there's evolution a new dimension, basically, because I see all of these black holes, which I call an atom is a black hole, and it's a dimension. It has its own organization. It has its own information. It has its own universe in itself. So each universe, such as an atom, a cell, an organ, a body, a planet, a galaxy, they're all shells. They're all... So can they... Stars are seen, they have shells. There's this one star, we can see 42 shells in it that evolve. It evolved. It has to be evolved. In other words, from the core, you build another shell, another you. Basically, if I put the connection as to when you die, you start, when you rebirth, like if you are resurrected or you believe in reincarnation, and I do, absolutely, you just reconnect, man. You just disconnect and reconnect a new life. So maybe each life is a new shell, a new you, a new dimension of you. So you are an expanded and evolved person the next time you come through. You've learned so much from the last shell. So a new shell every time. Well, it's just a theory and it's speculation, of course. But as far as, you know, the 5D type of thing and going an extra dimension, and I don't see it as impossible, but I don't see any, you know, there's nothing concrete about it. You know, you just can't.
Well, I respect your thought process in the way that you're kind of like knowing rather than any belief. And that's what, I don't know if you know who Crow 777 is, but that's what he says, that believing is the enemy of knowing. So
yes,
I respect that a lot, but like, and that's why I said the way that my brain works is completely different than that. Like, I love to speculate, and I also just trust my intuition. But I think about like the things that you said about having the 1D and then the 2D and then the 3D, and how we can't really perceive the 2D living in this 3D world. And right. That's how I feel about like the 5D. Like, I don't look at it as, oh, we're going to ascend into this fifth dimensional world. I think that we're literally activating strands of our DNA or of our informational systems, our bodies, our meat bags, and we're going to be able to perceive things differently. And that's why so many people are on the path to awakening in that way. That's just my two cents, but.
No, I agree, actually, that every time we go through the cycle, we evolve. We evolve. Absolutely. And I cannot deny that. And I don't deny any of the these new advanced theories, but they're theories. And they're great to think of, and they're great mental exercise. Is it true? Maybe. I don't know, you know, but there's people that are intuitive. There's people that are clairvoyant. There's people that I've seen that come out with ideas, man, that fit the whole spectrum of my theory kind of thing, you know? It's like they see it. They know it.
Maybe I'm just plugging in, you know?
Maybe. You know, there may be some details that are, you know, wonky, but the whole average picture is clear, you know?
What do you think about CERN's involvement in this? You know, they've conducted experiments to create antimatter, and you know that they're known for doing research on like nuclear technology or whatever. And then we know that they have the entire like satanic aspect of it. If you look at any of their shows, I don't even know what they're called. They look like rituals, but what do you think about their role in this? Because I always kind of think that they exist purposely to manipulate the energy of humans and just like Earth in general.
I just saw there's a CIA building headquarters there too now. I didn't know that.
They're looking for the Holy Grail. They're looking for the secret of life. Basically, I see CERN and I see LHC as giant Sagnac gyros. Basically, well, there's other reasons as well, but the factor of a spinning opposite directions particles is the Sagnac gyro. Basically, a Sagnac gyro is two light beams in a loop that go opposite direction to each other, and they integrate each other. And in the difference between the two spins, and in life, okay, in all of quantum theory, there's spin up, spin down. There's nothing else. Okay, there's nothing else.
Do you have a picture of this gyro?
A picture of the gyro?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
But I just finished this thought. This gyro, this Sagnac gyro, which is the same as LHC and CERN and what have you, they give you the absolute position of the Z up, the primordial it's like the portal. It's a portal. It's a 0-point portal. Basically, it's the point of nothing. Basically, you can reach anywhere in the universe through this 0 point. Now, if they can pass quantum data through it, well, they can go anywhere. They can go anywhere. You know, that's the idea I think they're trying to get through is to look at this here. Can you see this?
No, you have to share your screen again.
Okay. I just want to show you this Z up of everything.
The Z up's key.
Z up's key.
Yep. I'm learning.
So you see these hairs of dark matter stretching from the Earth's surface. So this is the Higgs grid. This is the matrix grid of the universe, really. But the Earth is connected by all these threads. They're all connected to a giant web of interconnection between from anywhere to anywhere, really. So they're all connecting to this grid, and the warpage of the gravity only, all that does is takes that grid and wraps it around itself. So it's basically vortexing it into the plane, into a sphere. But we don't know that because we're in it. It's like a brain cannot see itself. We are inside a brain. So therefore, if we're inside the brain, then we can't see the brain. We can only see the software, in other words. You can only see the image. But as far as that, okay, what I was looking for was warp aspects.
Well, did you know that in the Bible, in certain versions of the Bible, that matrix means womb?
Oh, yeah.
Womb? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
I had always equated the Holy Matrix to a female. The Matrix, the Holy Grail, I mean. I always equated the Holy Grail to a female. And considering the fractal nature of it all, it sort of is. It's a place of creation. Yeah.
But it's like you need both. Like, that's why I was saying earlier that it's like I look at God, the scientific math part of it as like the father of creation, and then mother, the natural law, Mother Earth, the Gaia, like he said, as the mother, and they need both for creation.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Like, well, the one and the zero. Okay, if you consider the one being the male,
yep,
and the zero being the female.
Yep, that's what we all are. We're all ones and zeros.
Yeah.
Seriously, you know, we're all ones and zeros. Absolutely. Exactly.
So one goes to zero.
So true.
Always. Which, who's the one? Just kidding.
Male. But every, I know. But every human is both, right? There's right. An alpha and a beta and a omega of everything, right? So,
okay.
But we do have aspects of one of the or the other, like the male female is the female is more omega and the male is more alpha. Now, if you look at, you see this image of all these galaxies here, and that's basically alpha omega, right? You have a hot side and a cold side, and let's come back here to quantum theory. All quantum theory is heat. It's just hot or cold. A hot means send. Cold means return. So, you know, there's this big argument about temperature and how they're called. There's an interchange between cold goes to hot, or is it hot goes to cold? Hot goes to cold. So basically, every galaxy has a hot side and a cold side. So basically, what we're doing is linking the hot side and the cold side. So basically, send and receive to Earth. So basically, the alpha omega go to Earth, a hot side and a cold side. So and it's the same thing in quantum. Quantum is hot side, cold side, always. It's what is up is hot, what is down is cold. So, yeah. So I think that they're you know, we're connecting to all these galaxies, and there's an inside and an outside. And if you could look at here, there's two circles, right? And these are the two alpha and omega portals. But they end up on the Z axis. Z axis is the tunnel. But the two axis, anyways, repeating myself there. But so what did you want to see? I'm sorry, Dave.
Is our Earth essentially a stargate?
Well, the North Pole is. I think that the 1D to the 2D to the 3D is the portal, like from 2D to 3D. 3D is you're going outside of the planet. You are going outside of the Earth. So the portal is the North Pole. That's the connection point, right? That's our exit point. It's the portal. So the Earth itself is an entity that speaks, that talks out, and we talk out of the same hole. basically. But she is here. We are elsewhere. We are external.
One thing I think that's interesting, the Masons, their organization, they say that God is north, which is an interesting... Yeah,
really?
Yeah, it's an interesting picture.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. It is in the north, you know. And you have to figure, you know, I was saying this earlier that, you know, you see the northern lights almost all the way down to the equator. Well, they have had to go there. They had to follow those northern lights and see what's at the, up there. And once they got there, they saw these plumes of light. They saw this emanation. They looked under the ice and they saw, you know, the most purest, clearest water. And they saw the bottom. They saw the crystal. They saw this 5 kilometer tall crystal with lights coming out of it and lights coming out of the water and heading out to the sky. And I mean, that's God in itself, right? Like, I mean, it's godly in its scope. I mean, who wouldn't think that's not God, right?
It's beautiful.
So to me, that's the connection that where religion started was they went there and they saw everything and they assumed and made a theory and philosophized the whole thing, just like the Bible did. They philosophized the impact of that finding, right? And the reason, raison d'être, right? And believing in God, and God is everything, and we have to feed the God and all of that, you know? Like,
did you know the Bible, the Holy Bible, the word is Helios Biblos, and it's translated to Book of the Sun?
Yeah, didn't know that.
So our Holy Bible is the Book of the Sun, which is another... paints another good picture.
Yeah. Interesting. You know, I'm always looking for different perspectives on everything, right? And it's really interesting to touch with you people and to connect and to see what you talk about and what you realize, what, you know, for me as an engineer, as a scientist, as a guy that is trying to, I'm not trying to sell it. I'm trying to save people, really. I think it's valid. I think the fact that I'm being banned everywhere is basically, you know, I'm canceled everywhere. Maybe I am touching on something that they don't want me to show, you know. There's a reason.
Yeah, because you're like, hey, check out this comment I made on this video, and I'm like, well, I don't see your post at all because the comment was never posted.
Yeah, Globuster, they banned me. You know, when the flat earthers don't even want to hear theory, well, then you gotta wonder, you know.
That's exactly my point. So, you know, even though it makes sense to me, it connects a lot of the dots in the same way that you're talking about, because I've always come from a place of like religious type of approach. I'm not religious at all, but just like hearing all the connections between the different religions, and then combined with what I said at the very beginning about it being a holographic world, it just clicks. It all clicks together when you talk about it for me. But I can see why others don't want to subscribe to it, because maybe it's the fact that, like, maybe it's the word black hole, maybe it has a negative connotation in their mind. Maybe it's like, because I guess what I'm getting at is, what does that mean to you on that metaphysical level of what, like you talked about it being a disconnect and a connect, this energy never being created, always just being kind of transferred into your reincarnation of a new body. And what kind of thoughts do you have on what happens after this life and maybe after the cycle of reincarnation on a 3D realm?
It's stuff I don't know. It's stuff I can speculate on. It's stuff, you know, to me, the afterlife is returning to Earth, really, because if anything, if the galaxy is a brain, Well, you can't live in your brain. It has to be external. So the only way that we can experience anything is outside of our own brain, right? We have to have input, output, ears, eyes, all of that. We have to extend ourselves out. So in order to connect somewhere, we got to connect somewhere, share, you know, go to Hotel California, basically, and you can never leave until you die, you know.
what about you, Dave?
Hold on, what was the question?
What do you think happens, like, in knowing this and kind of taking these ideas, what do you think happens after you die? And even if you subscribe to reincarnation, do you think there's anything beyond that? Like, to kind of get off that loop.
Well, we're always, I feel like the big secret is we're always eternal. Me and Mark, we were going back and forth a lot about, you know, everybody's really scared. Like right now, everybody's scared and they're all concerned about losing their lives and they're all concerned about this and all this stuff. If you think about things eternally, if you think about us as just one complete eternal thing, it doesn't matter what happens when we die. Like technically we can close our eyes right now and wake up in the blink of an eye and be elsewhere. We'll be aware of ourselves. I've even gone as much to think about life in general. Our earth right now, like let's say things do get really bad, and I'm gonna be frank with you guys, if things really do get bad to the point where nobody even wants to live on earth anymore, is it worth fighting for? Is it worth fighting for staying here right now in this physical life, or is it worth taking the risk and going to the next time frame, the next timeline? Is it worth it? And perhaps we're going to come out on a better, more enlightened path. And that's my hope. Like that's what's in my head. And I know Mark's talking about, you know, one thing leads to another. And I want to keep things in my head positive to the point where I've only got one outcome. One outcome is in my mind. I know what I want and I believe this in my heart. And this is what I'm going to manifest in my mind.
And to say that we don't evolve, you know, how do we evolve? What is evolving? You know, is it knowing good and evil? Is it the ability to discern for ourselves, to think for ourselves and not just be children of some other entity? Or like God wouldn't want us to be slaves or children. He wants us to be intelligent, if there is a God. Or me as a person, I want to be more intelligent. I want to know everything, right? That's the common thing. I think everybody wants to know everything. Yeah. Nobody wants to do the work, but everybody wants to know everything, right? Well, authority is a simple, quick way to get all the information, get to know everything. And you can seem like a brilliant person by repeating somebody else's words, right? But you're not a genius. You're not smart at all. And until you find yourself, until you find your higher meaning, your higher soul, your higher thinking, you're always going to think in terms of what can I get and what can I don't know. To me, it's a question of once you reach a certain level of understanding of what is evil, what is good, what, you know, all these people have to learn what evil is. And unless you kill them, unless you put them against the wall, they'll never learn. It's like, you know, in a padded room, you can't learn anything in a padded room. It's like you can't fatten a pig on clear water.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
So I think a bit in Edgar Cayce's type of theory, you know, Earth is a platform that we started. Maybe we started at Venus. Maybe we started at Mercury. Who knows? But if each planet is a realm in itself, well, why not? Earth is a realm. There's a black hole. Is a thing. Is a consciousness. Well, we could go to another consciousness. Why not? You know, we're just information linking our minds to it. So why not have multiple levels of our evolution, such as we learn love here, we learn understanding there, we learn, you know, different things, different places, you know, just like we do in experienced life, you know, in general. But why not? The next level is the next level. It's a step up. It's an evolution. It's next planet. We're going to Mars. We're going, you know.
Next. Do you feel we need to experience the extremes? Like, in order to understand the most pleasure in the world, we have to experience the most pain.
Kind of thing, yeah. You can't know pain. You can't, you know. Is God all knowing or all good?
Right. I encourage everybody that's listening, please research Edgar Cayce. He's an amazing man. They said, wasn't he one of the only time travelers, to be honest? Like, he was a documented time traveler.
Yes.
So with his consciousness.
Yeah, he's quite extraordinary, you know, in his meditations or whatever it was. He was speaking in languages, not even his own. He didn't know the languages, and he spoke in those languages with clear detail, and you know, he picked up stuff that nobody else, you know.
And there's a university in Florida named after him, based off of kind of psychic. It's like a psychic realm. It's when you hypnosis, that's what he did. He did hypnosis.
Yeah.
Hypnosis was his key to a lot of things, and he could self hypnotize, and I think that's one of the reasons why he was able to go into time mentally, because he was self hypnosis.
Well, what is hypnosis? What is meditation? To me,
and that's the 2D. That's 2D low. That's low frequency, easy stuff, right?
Well, it's going back to 1D, really.
Like 1D. There you go.
You know, like, if you think of the brain, the mind as a singularity, as in the center, you see a panorama of everything that is around you. So everything that is around. Now, can you go outside of the realm? Can you go outside of the earth? Can you go out, you know, pick up other information from other planets, other whatever? It's a big network of cables out there. So why not, you know, tap into something that is out there? If by going back to the 1D, the singularity, which is connected to the surface North Pole, which is connected to the universe, theoretically, you should be able to. You should be able to connect to, possibly, I don't know. But, you know, at least after we die, we can always reroute to somewhere else. I don't see why not, you know.
We're all going to have that opportunity. There's no doubt about that. No doubt. Yeah.
But if you didn't learn your lesson, you're going to come back here again, yeah, again, right, and again, and again. And I think that the evil that is here now is people that have been coming back here over and over and over and over and over, way over everybody else. In other words,
they haven't learned their lessons.
And never will. Maybe they are.
Don't want to.
Maybe they are evil, you know, to that point. We don't know. It's hard to say, but stands to reason that if somebody doesn't learn, he stays, you know. I don't know. Speculation, but it's an interesting thought.
Right. Well, I wanted to read one of your quotes from your website before we kind of close out here. I want to thank you so much for leaving a comment on one of the Instagram pages that I follow. It's actually an episode I did with someone, and you left this comment about Black Hole Planet. And I was like, wait a second, I need to know more. And then we've been friends ever since. So you're very intelligent. You can tell by the way you talk, and you know what you're talking about. It's actually mind blowing. So thank you so much for coming on the show. And same to you, Dave. You take kind of, you're almost like a mix of like that scientific type brain, and then you definitely add like that layer of speculation that I enjoy. So I just want to say thank you both for coming on the show today.
Thanks. Hey, can I share my Higgs background name?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so check this out. So everything that Mark's been talking about, it's all based off of the Higgs matrix. And you're like, oh, the Higgs matrix, that sounds kind of cool. And you guys have probably heard about the Higgs boson and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I did a little bit of research, and I come to find out that this is all stemmed from a Peter Higgs, who was in the United Kingdom. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. And I'm like, my last name's Higgs and his name is Higgs. Let me think about this. So I hop onto my genealogy. And to make a long story short, my genealogy goes back to a guy named, let me pull up my picture. Hold on 1 second. So my genealogy goes back to a guy named Griffith Higgs back in 1589. And that's Lichfield. Lichfield is in the United Kingdom. He was christened in South Stoke, Oxfordshire, which would be a church of England. And he died in December 16th, 1659 at the chancel of the church. Well, actually, no, South Stoke, Oxfordshire is in the United Kingdom. And then the chancel of the church would be the Church of England. So I'm pretty sure I haven't done the research on Peter yet, but I'm pretty sure that he is a cousin of mine. So I feel pretty good about that. I feel pretty good about that.
You know, there's connections. You know, if everything is information, I mean, nothing is out of the blue. Everything comes from somewhere, from somehow. And frankly, Saint Genet, which is Saint Genesis.
Yeah.
I think that was me actually, because everything.
Can you show that picture?
All the sculptures.
Yeah. Can you do that? That's him right there. Watch this when he shows us.
You're gonna have to share your screen again.
Yep. Come in.
And then, of course, this everything that I've been talking about, everything I talk about just in general life, once you start to get a scope for this, once you start to think about the world, you start to think about, hey, this is a black hole, and you start to picture a black hole, things sucking energy, everything flowing, you start to look at old historical things and you start to see it over and over again, everything starts to make sense.
It feels familiar.
And it all bleeds right back to this. And it all becomes familiar. You're right. And sometimes part of us, enlightening ourselves is a matter of remembering where we came from, because it's in our DNA. Everything's in our DNA. Am I right?
Yeah. And like he's saying, it's not localized. I'll be right back.
All right. Yeah.
So yeah, I think our DNA is well. I think the DNA is just an antenna, like there's an in and an out, and the missing one. Well, and the center is the zero point, of course. But yeah, the familiar and the family thing, it would make sense that we'd come back in our same family in lives, right? I don't know. To me, I just saw this, and when I saw Saint Genesis, and I started seeing the connections between, you know, the black hole, the Alpha Omega, the ice. I mean, it just fit the North Pole to a T. So if that's Saint Genesis, then I'm the one that's falling on this information, and it all came to me like boom, 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 and it almost was ethereal, you know. It was almost like eureka moment for me, because it really made sense. Like, I'm just repeating what this guy did. Either he was me and I'm leaving myself messages for the future, or that it's just coincidence. But god damn it,
nothing's a coincidence,
you know. That's what
yep.
I feel.
Yep.
And you know, the Can you see the picture?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
I'll show you another one. These are all Genet. And you see this one here? Basically, the angels are at the top, right? That's you up there. And the little crosses, you see all the crosses on top of their heads there? And all those crosses are the zero points of each man, right? And they connect to the people up top, right? And wow. Because that's the firmament kind of thing at the top there. And the evil, you see on both sides, they're evil. They're absolutely evil. And but St. Genesis in the middle, all the people in the middle are all laughing. You know, they're naked and they're not afraid, you know. They understand damn well. And that's what Genesis was all about, was that laughing and crying, right? And these are laughing people going to the gallows, getting their heads chopped off. And they're
laughing about it.
You know,
yeah.
So you know, to me, it just gelled like your Higgs gelled me, like you know.
Yeah, so it's a eureka moment
of a guy that, like, I mean, I'm down to the last bits of people that actually listen to me. Okay, so you are the final thread, right? I'm grasping at straws. You're my last straws, and to think that it's a Higgs guy that connected to me and.
Yeah, wow.
And Lala, I just love you. I just think, you know, I think you know, to follow me, to understand me, to give me a chance. Oh my God, man, that's exceptional to me. It's somebody that must be very. And I listen to you. I listen to your programs, and you're super bright. You're on. You've got a memory like a. Wow. It's incredible. You're very.
She's impressive. She's very impressive.
Very impressive. And you too, Dave. You're a thinker. You're a man. You research stuff. You're just like me. You know.
Let's keep figuring shit out.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Exactly. And spread the word, for God's sake, right. Please. I want to save the world. You know. I know it's a big dream, and it's something that I see slipping away from me, but. Does it matter? It doesn't really matter, I guess, in the whole picture of things, because everybody's going to see this evil, right? So maybe it's all for the better and things will be what they will be, but at least you people see it, I hope.
It definitely makes more sense every time I hear it. I like this, quote from your website directly that I wanted to end with this. And, right. You know, I read this over and over, and each time, like, it makes more sense to me. So I think that some people are just put off. And I think, first of all, people don't care about the shape of the world. They don't care if they've been lied to. That there's a certain personality trait, or, you know, in our soul, that we are attracted to the truth, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I will make sure to put all of your information in the show notes. And I just want to end it on one of your quotes that kind of explains this. And for the listeners at home, this is going to be on YouTube with some of the pictures that we talked about. I know it's kind of a hard concept to understand. And this quote even specifically, maybe listen to it a couple of times and see if it sticks. So black hole is 1D thought core, I am. With a 2D flat plane information event horizon, which is like the matrix, right?
Yeah.
Inside the 3D globe, black hole is a singularity, a mind, a life form without matter. All is wave or closed, isolated wave as a singularity, something in empty space. It must have the 1D core, 2D plane, 3D globe. A 1-2-3D is a mind cell, a closed, isolated, independent universe within the universe, an information source entity. God with infinite potential of learning and expanding as other universes of memory storage cells interact and network. The God is the universe as we are, infinite and eternal in a web of dark matter mind matrix. We grow, explore, extend, express, and commune like a fiber optic network with our alpha, omega, in and out Zup portals or holy grail portals. We probe the universe as tentacles of globular light, packets of information. I am relaying consciousness and spirit on a quantum plane, information interchange of data, mind, plane, earth. To earth, to universe, to everything, via Zup, the Holy Halo, and Grails. If you find this stuff interesting, make sure that you reach out to Mark. He is so kind and he is a genius. So thank you so much to both of you for being here with me today.
Thank you so much.